It's our first Friday News Roundup of 2024, and Las Vegas, you are chock full of news per usual. Today on CityCast Las Vegas, I'm here with co-host Sarah Lohman and Nevada Current editor April Corbin-Gurness. We're talking about the scary scene in the Las Vegas courtroom with a judge attacked, why stopping for selfies has become criminal on strip pedestrian bridges, and the worst food trends of the year. It's Friday, January 5th. I'm David Figler, and here's what Las Vegas is talking about. April, Sarah, welcome to the Friday News Roundup.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Thank you, David.
So let's start in a courtroom in Las Vegas where something very scary happened, making national headlines this week. April, tell us about that.
Yeah. So on Wednesday morning at a sentencing hearing, there was a 30-year-old Dobra Redden. And he was in a sentencing hearing for he had pled guilty to attempted battery with substantial bodily harm. And it was actually, I believe, he pled down to an original charge of assault with a deadly weapon. And he gave a long speech saying that he wanted to have probation or sort of not go to prison again. He'd been in prison before. And the judge, Mary Kay Holthus, said, I can't do that given your criminal record. You need something different. And so she started to sentence him, and he attacked. Basically, he left the area where he's sitting, and he fled, and he leapt over the judge's sort of dais or whatever you call it.
The bench.
I don't cover courts, obviously. He hurtled over the bench and attacked her, and a law clerk and a few bailiffs obviously jumped in and tried to restrain him and stop the chaos in the courtroom. But it was a very dramatic, very scary scene that happened this week. And it's made headlines. It was in the New York Times along with a lot of websites. The video, a shorter video, is going viral on social media. So everyone's talking about it.
Yeah, that short clip I've seen posted over 100 places already. And like you said, New York Times, also the Washington Post. What are your initial reactions to this video, Sarah?
Well, of course, you know, I saw this when it came up. I think it was Las Vegas Locally was the first place that I saw it on Instagram. And I then watched like the Channel 13 video, which is actually 20 minutes long. It's this entire hearing. And it is a way different vibe than you get from the short clip that's playing, that even plays automatically on the New York Times website without sound. And I say that because, I mean, the initial reaction to just seeing this man like fly over the bench, it is shocking. Like, I don't know how someone gets that airborne. And it's really frightening. But then when you watch it in the longer context, it's so unexpected. Like, everything is going as normal. Like, he's entering his plea. The lawyer, you know, asks him to go and be sentenced to probation. The judge says no. And it's actually even before he's sentenced, he snaps and goes after her. And to me, the really heartbreaking part that you miss if you're not listening to this with sound is that you can hear his family in the background, what I presume are, you know, is his mother or sisters or grandmother. And they're actually crying and yelling, no, don't do this. No, don't do this. And so it takes it much away from more of this like, whoa, Vegas is crazy, which I feel like is going to be the reaction to this really sad story. And I think that much like you, David, my first takeaway was this man he doesn't need to go to prison. He needs mental health support. But of course, being institutionalized is also, can be worse than prison because you end up institutionalized with no out date. You get out when you're well, quote unquote. And it just is this like really, really sad incident that now the whole country is witnessing.
Yeah. How about you, April? What did you think when you saw that video?
Yeah. I mean, the short video, it's obviously, it's just crazy. Like Sarah said, it's like the airtime and it's just sort of wild. And it was easy, I think, to kind of take it lightly because it had been reported pretty early on that the judge and the other people in the courtroom were okay, that they went to the hospital, but they were not in serious sort of injury or anything. So obviously it's really scary, but pretty limited. But the more you found out about this case, it's really sad. The lawyer came out and said that he's been diagnosed with schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. Mm-hmm. He had been through the mental health court at least twice before, is what I read in a story. So he's clearly troubled, and it's a sad situation.
It's super heartbreaking. I mean, and of course, you know, we're all glad that the judge wasn't hurt. I mean, she's being monitored, but she does seem to be okay. But it just feels like everybody was a victim in that room. I'm actually, David, I'm curious, can you explain the charge?
Yeah, I mean, he was in on a violent charge, and I don't know enough about the case. But what we do know is that in this particular case, at one point he was deemed by a different judge to be incompetent, meaning that he couldn't understand the nature of the proceedings. And he was literally sent to the state psychiatric hospital for observation called Lakes Crossing, where he was treated and, quote unquote, made competent anew. And that's a controversial process, but it certainly indicates not just the defense attorney saying that he had schizophrenia, but likely, in all likelihood, verification of significant mental health issues. The judge in the clip, Judge Mary Kay Holthus, who I know very well for a very long time, had indicated that he had, you know, not done well in mental health court twice before. I would say, based on my experiences, that schizophrenics do the worst in the mental health court because of the nature of the limited resource. They can be flexible. They try to work with people. But schizophrenia is a hard one to fit into that particular court setting. So failing out of that is not uncommon. It's rough. So, yeah, I mean, they don't train judges, all judges, on how to best interact with people with schizophrenia who have violent histories. You know, there could be all sorts of triggers that they're not aware of. And not to, you know, in any way blame the judge for, you know, this horrific action that occurred to her. And I do hope that she's okay. It did seem like she got her head banged against the wall pretty hard. And
yeah,
sometimes that doesn't show up for
hard.
A little while. And one of the marshals, which we also call bailiffs, but they're technically marshals, had to go to the hospital with a gushing head. With needing stitches, et cetera. So, you know, there's a lot of questions about how we deal in courtroom settings with people with significant mental health issues. There's also issues of security. I mean, a lot of people are praising the law clerk there. Shout out to Michael Lasso, the law clerk who's a Vegas kid, a former high school football player who maybe saved his judge's life.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen next for the defendant?
He certainly has already been arrested for a bevy of new charges involving attacking the judge. But that mental health diagnosis is not going to go away. So, you know, he very well could be declared incompetent again. There could be all sorts of delays in those proceedings, but he is facing significantly more time. Plus, he still needs to be sentenced on the original charge because that never went through. And likely a different judge is going to have to do that now. You know, they're probably also going to be looking at some of the courtroom security protocols.
Well, and I feel like this doesn't seem like a typical incident.
It's not typical, although I have to say, in my many decades of practice of law, I have seen defendant outbursts in court. I was in a trial once where a co-defendant to my client had grabbed a chair, punched his attorney, threw the chair at the jury box, and went after the judge. So it does happen. In that case, his subsequent proceedings had him wearing a stun vest, where a marshal would sit there with a trigger switch, and anytime that defendant even seemed to act up, it would be push button, zap, zap.
Whoa.
On the ground.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that happened. All right. Well, our best wishes to all those who were injured in this, and prayers and hopes for the justice system to work all of its stuff out for this not to happen again. All right. I guess we're going to stay in the criminal justice system a little bit. Stopping on pedestrian bridges, those little connectors over the Las Vegas Boulevard, it's now illegal. Sarah, what did the county do?
Yeah. So this is a law that I was really interested to look into a little more deeply. So in the new year, a bevy of new laws that had been previously voted in have now gone into effect. And one of them is that there is no longer, you cannot stop. It's not just selfies. No one is allowed to stop on the pedestrian bridges that connect our casinos. Now, the reason this law was put into place is because there has been an increase in quote unquote disorder-related events on the strip by 23% between 2018 and 2022. So it's up about a quarter. And they say, the police say, without delivering other statistics, that these disorder-related events disproportionately happen on those bridges because they tend to be sort of enclosed and out of view, and they don't normally have a police presence, right? Now, what the heck is a disorder-related event? So this is how this term is defined via a study by UNLV. So they include aggressive panhandling, solicitation while intoxicated, aggressive street performers, illegal vendors, confidence games, and drug-related activity. So somewhat unsurprising, the ACLU is suing the government because it basically says you don't hear, within the confines of this law, you don't hear any specifics as to what that crime looks like how you define aggressive. I have a feeling that this law is really going to be unevenly enforced. I don't think it's going to be the tourists stopping for a selfie that get asked to move along by the police. I think it's going to be our unhoused or people, you know, playing violin for money that are going to be the ones targeted. And I think the last thing I want to say about this is that the article I'm looking at from the Nevada Current compares it to a law that was passed in Times Square in New York, which I actually got to experience while I was just on my book tour, in that they have banned sort of street performing on different corners within Times Square to keep the flow of traffic moving. That's how the law is phrased. Actually, that wasn't the issue. It was just that, like, tourists were kind of standing around and blocking up traffic. And now there's just a bunch of signs that say, keep it moving. So I actually don't find this a fair comparison because panhandlers and performers are still allowed within Times Square. But now we're essentially banning them from these bridges in Las Vegas.
Well, I mean, this new law from the county, which just got passed, is essentially a keep it moving law. And if you don't keep it moving, you will risk citation and or the discretionary arrest. April, do you think there might be unintended consequences here? And what might they be?
Yeah. Well, I think Sarah sort of touched on it. You know, I think it's the uneven enforcement. Like, what counts? Like, I think a lot of us don't want, and certainly the ACLU doesn't want to sort of rely on what Metro thinks you should or shouldn't be doing.
Right.
So, I mean, like, yeah, I think saying that, like, oh, they banned selfies on the strip is probably not their intent, but it sort of draws to the point that we don't know exactly where that line is. Like, maybe a selfie is fine or whatever if that's the thing, but what if, like, an influencer sits there and live streams for 30 minutes? Is that okay? But a homeless person sitting there isn't? Or I think that the fact that it's not clear is where the issue lies for a lot of people. And also, I think it just speaks to the larger issue that, like, where you can't stay in public anywhere anymore.
Like, yeah,
people are just like, who cares?
Have either of you been on a pedestrian bridge as of late?
And
what was your experience there? I mean, was it pleasant? Was there
fine.
A log jam?
No. It was fine. Of course, there were people. I mean, I have not in my 2.5 years here had an incident on a pedestrian bridge. Mm-hmm. Right. Sure. There's people panhandling. There's people playing music. But I've never witnessed anything aggressive. And if there's any drug use anywhere, I tend to look the other way. That's not something I'm going to call the cops on. Right. But you know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of old school loitering and trespassing laws that were intentionally created to target Black people. And so I think that when we're talking about, you know, this being enforced disproportionately, I think that the white blonde influencer will be fine. But I think it's going to be the people of color who are targeted, who will be legally allowed to be targeted by the existence of this law.
And I don't know the history of this ordinance and how long it's been in the works. But I think the optics of something like this being passed by Clark County a month or two after F1, where they put up barriers on some of those bridges.
And we saw that video of security guards, like, hassling people to move on when they're trying to peek through, which upset a lot of people. Interestingly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now we have this to sort of enforce it and give it more weight or whatever. Like, I think a lot of people are rightly sort of seeing that there's a connection there and being like, people are still pissed off about the fact that they put up the little film and you couldn't even see it or whatever. I think that it's just that erosion of anything. The keep it moving. I think people are offended by that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to defend the county's actions here. I think ultimately they're going to face a very significant legal challenge and hard to justify what they did. But, you know, I have been on those pedestrian bridges, and I will say that they were not mindfully or thoughtfully designed. They're kind of built for lingering, or, you know, that enclosed space that makes people feel unsafe, or where I would think people would be drawn to give a shot to put up a three card Monty table or to, you know, panhandle a little bit. But it does beg the question about what are public spaces.
Okay, so my question for you, David, longtime Las Vegan, like, do you think taking away the three card Monty and the panhandlers on the street, or in specifically these bridges, is this once again chipping away at the character of Las Vegas?
Oh, I don't think three card Monty builds or adds to any of the character of Las Vegas to exist. I mean, arguably the people in the showgirl costumes do or don't. I don't know. But I will say this, that, you know, Las Vegas does grapple with what public space means. And they also grapple with thoughtful design, as I stated. So, you know, it's just treacherous dealing in public spaces and saying what can and can't be there and how it is there. April, can you hone in on the pros and cons of making the strip a little, I don't know, cleaner?
You know, my proposal that Clark County will absolutely take seriously is that they should shut the strip to car traffic.
Boom.
Yeah.
Let people walk across the street. Let that lanes be a space. Then you can have enough space for performers, and you can have enough space for everybody's out in the open. So nobody's, like you said, built for sort of narrow design and like unsafe environments.
Less
likely to be hit by cars. Shut the strip down to traffic or to car traffic, I should say, and give it back to the people. Have outdoor spaces. All right. I solved it.
Another amazing, that's what Times Square did.
They
created huge pedestrian spaces, right? And now it's a lot of fun and 30% less irritating to be there. And they've also installed a lot of art in those pedestrian spaces, as well as allowing a safe place for both people to navigate the city and panhandle and dress like Elmo.
There's enough space.
Cue all the sad old-time Las Vegans who are still lamenting that they can't cruise up and down Fremont Street in their open cars yelling at people, which used to be a thing. We used to have our own American graffiti on Fremont Street. All right. We just had two bummer topics. Let's bring this home with a fun one, y'all. A great fun article by Las Vegas Review Journal food critic Jonathan Wright came out, and he entitled his piece, Eight Vegas Food Trends That Need to Die in 2024. So let's go through those.
I'm really excited.
Yeah. So, okay, the first one I'm going to hit from his list, you know what? The cocktails and smoke trend. Are you familiar with this one?
Yeah.
It's like a show. And then the whole bar stinks up of cedar or whatever for a few seconds. And then someone gets delivered a cocktail. Why would Jonathan hate that? Why does that have to go?
I mean, I don't know. Honestly, I don't think it's too overdone. And the one time I've experienced it, I've only experienced it once in person. And it was at the bar at the end of Meow Wolf of Omega Mart. And it's like this woman came over and first blew a bubble on top of the cocktail and then filled the bubble with rosemary smoke. And then you waited until the bubble popped. And honestly, and by this point, we were already a little bit lit. But our whole table screamed for the entire 90 seconds of the process, because we were so amped about this magic show happening.
Big, big question, Sarah. Did you drink that cocktail? Because I've heard rumor that it looks great, tastes horrible.
You know what? I remember having a sip of it, and I don't think it was too bad. It was actually one of my friends who ordered it. I got, like, the orange creamsicle, which was pretty tasty, I have to say. But in a way, it didn't matter for, like, it was worth the price for the thrill of adventure we got from it. So, you know, while I think the article is great and Jonathan puts a lot of subtlety in his choices, I am in for smoking cocktails.
Okay. Let's move on to another one. April, I want to get your take. He says, hot chicken. It's a beloved regional specialty from Nashville, and it has been tainted and perverted by all the hot chicken outlets that don't pay homage to the original. What do you think about that? Hot chicken, stay or go?
I stay. I love it.
You like the hot chicken places.
I like hot chicken, okay? I lived in Kentucky for 5 years, so like sort of up, long up the road from Nashville or whatever, where it was kind of a regional thing or whatever. And then when it started to blow up here, I was like, yes, bring it to me. I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. Like, you know what? It's good. Are they doing it as good as the original place in Nashville? Like, of course not. They're never going to, but like...
So you're okay with the imitators?
I'm okay with the imitators, you know? I think if you're going to imitate something, at least it's something yummy and good.
Yeah. And not every burger is the best burger, but it also kind of means that every burger is an okay burger. Ditto with pizza.
Although I'm going to say that hot chicken can be a little on the, I don't know, PR side of things. There's a hot chicken place that is downtown Las Vegas now, which I actually really like, but they have one on there, like the hottest on the spectrum is like the nuclear whatever. It's like one million.
It's all this time, David, you know?
So we went out with friends, and one of them is very adept at the spicy food and said, okay, I'll skip the top one. I'll go to the one right below it. And everyone's like, you sure? And he's like, yeah, I have one bite in. Nope, not happening.
Nope. Yeah.
Just like abandon ship. Am I allowed to name who that was?
Was it Sonia?
It was Sonia's husband.
Oh no.
Yeah, it was producer Sonia Cho Swanson's husband.
I see you, Sonia.
Yeah, we see you. I mean, look, it was a good sandwich. We just didn't need to be that high on the level. I think it was a little gimmicky.
Yeah, I mean, it's the gimmicky, yes, but gimmick's bad, but
okay.
General hot chicken, yes.
Yeah, and it can be like a little soggy or like not quite like, yeah, I have had that Nashville chicken and it was just like, oh, perfect. But like, it's, you know, still hits a certain want. A need in my body, but also we have Hattie B's at the Cosmopolitan, which is a Nashville joint.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to another one. Overdone donuts. And here's what Jonathan describes as overdone donuts. Variously burdened with cream fillings, drizzles, crazy color icing, towers of pipe ganache and whipped cream, gold flakes, marshmallows, cereal, lollipops, and other excess. Does the overdone, overwrought donut trend need to end, y'all?
Yes. Goodbye. Over it. Like, it's disgusting. That and those, like, crazy milkshakes with, like, cotton candy and a donut. Like, disgusting. I mean, it's for kids, but, like, what kid has the money? Like, whatever. There's nothing more perfect than a glazed donut, still a little bit warm, the glaze on the outside crisp, the glaze underneath the crisscross, just a
old
little
school.
Warm and melty.
Yeah.
Absolutely perfect.
I mean, April, you've got kids. Do they go for the shit emoji donuts and all that stuff?
I mean, they will think it's cool, but like for like half a second, right? And then they're kind of over it. Especially when they get too crazy with like toppings. And it's like, it's burdensome to eat. Like you have to take all the stuff off of it anyway.
Yeah.
Then like, what's the point? But,
I mean, I would add on ethically sourced donuts. Like, find out who the owners of your donut shop
That's
are and what other things they might be involved in. But,
and we have a whole episode about Pink Box. Should anybody
People could go search that. All right, here's the last one. And I'm surprised because this is one of my favorite things to order on a menu, but maybe because of that, the modest but delicious Branzino fish. Why did he pick on Branzino? He says it's just everywhere, and now that means it's over.
David, I don't know shit about Branzino, honestly.
You don't?
No.
Yeah, That was the one thing on that list that I was like, he and I are eating at different places. I don't see Branzino everywhere. So
I will tell you, if you've had the Branzino at Esther's Kitchen, you would be a lifelong fan of the Branzino. But
you know, I went to Esther's Kitchen for the first time a couple weeks ago, and I got to say, it was an incredible experience. Can we just do rapid fire the other two things on the list?
Okay. Yeah, hit it. Hit it.
Number one is the neon foliage selfie walls. David, what do you think?
Oh, I hate the flower walls. I'm over it. The first time I walked into one, I'm like, ugh, Instagram is running this restaurant. I have no interest. Then I could see it everywhere, and people taking the pictures, and it's just like, bleh.
So copied.
Dummy.
April, what do you think?
Yeah, get rid of them. Put them on the bridge or the strip instead.
Okay, hot take.
Oh, there you go. So you can't look at the F1, but you can look at a beautiful flower wall.
Selfie.
But you can't take a selfie with it.
Selfie
Do
bridge.
Not take a selfie with the flower wall on the pedestrian bridge.
At first, when I read that, I was like, ugh, yes, get rid of them. I'm so sick of them. They're so overdone. But then I was like, you know what? Anything that supports the neon industry, I am here for. That is an art form, and I want them to get paid. Okay,
Fair.
So what about Ube? April, Ube?
I'm so mad that Ube was on that list. Like, I
All right, first tell everybody what Ube is, because I don't know what Ube is. I don't think I've ever had Ube in my life.
If you see like a dessert in particular that's purple, although it also has savory applications, it is a purple sweet potato that's like a very popular like Southeast and East Asian flavor. It's hard to describe, but I found it very delicious.
And Jonathan says it's got to go.
Yeah, he says
this
there's
is a
too
trend
much
I'm not even on yet. Don't go.
You guys don't know enough Filipino people, I guess.
So
I grew up, I'm Filipino, so I grew up eating ube, like ube ice cream and ube all things, like for years and years. So when it started to pop up in little places, like coffee shops started to have one or whatever, I was like, I am all for it. Here's
ice cream.
Bring it. Yeah.
Delicious.
I think it's fun. Not only is it got the visual appeal of like it turns everything purple or whatever,
gorgeous,
but also it does taste good, and it's great. And you know what? Filipinos don't get enough credit for our food.
Yes.
So I feel like we can own this one, and maybe people will have it and be like, wow, Filipino food's pretty good. Maybe I should try eating lumpia and other stuff. that's my hope, okay?
You couldn't see me, but I snapped for you, April, because that's so true. And where else than in Las Vegas should Filipinos get cred? And I think it's beautiful. It's delicious. Jonathan just says it can be used with too heavy a hand, and he wants to see it used more thoughtfully, not trendily.
Well, and that makes sense. And that really is kind of the tone of the whole article, which I think is just a fun read.
It's great.
And if people want to take a look at that, we're going to put a link to Jonathan Wright's story in our show notes. Well, April, Sarah, another good Friday News Roundup. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, David.
Thanks for having me.
And that's all for today here on CityCast Las Vegas. Our executive producer is Sonia Cho Swanson. Our producer is Layla Muhammad. Our newsletter editor is Scott Dickensheets. And your hosts are Sarah Lohman and me, David Figler. Music is by OG Moose, Epidemic Sound, and All the Kimonos. We record the show on the traditional homelands of the Nuuvi, the Southern Paiute people. If you enjoyed the show, you know the drill. Go tell a friend, tell two friends, maybe three. Rate the show too. We love reading the reviews that come with the ratings, and please subscribe to our morning newsletter. You're missing out if you don't. We'll be back Monday morning with more news from around the city. Till then, stay lucky, everybody.